This message is brought to you by Croydon Tabernacle, a part of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Our mission is reconciling the individual, community, and the nation to God. Be blessed as you listen.
When we talk about the Word of God, it's a very multidimensional thing. It's both the person, the written word, the spoken word, the person of the word himself. There's so many things that you're talking about. And it's always a privilege. Always a privilege to have an encounter with that word. And so the topic we're looking at this morning briefly is the topic approved by God. Approved by God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 in the Amplified. And it says, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved. A workman, then in bracket, tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Study and do your best. Now, it's very interesting that I love to put everything in context. This was part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to someone he called his son in the faith, Timothy. It would read very nice. But let's take a look at the life of both of them so we understand the context in which this letter was written. We all know where Paul started from. He was a man that stood there clapping and applauding while men were stoning Stephen to death. I hope you do remember. That was the background of the man named Saul. And he himself was on the way to Damascus to go and arrest people that were worshiping Christ. So it wasn't so nice a story. That was where he started from. And then he met Christ. And in one of his many missionary journeys, he met this young man named Timothy. Now, interestingly, Timothy's mother was a Jew. His father was what? A Greek. In those days, that was his death sentence. No Jew will accept somebody who was not pure Jew like themselves. You were either pure Jew or you were the mixed multitude. And so the Jews always had this sense of superiority that they were the best ones. Every other person was polluted. So that was Timothy. You know what Paul did? Paul took him, circumcised him, so he could be acceptable to both the Jews and the Gentiles. And so that lies our first point of reflection. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter where you have started from. All of us have our past. I am sure that if all of us will talk about where we are coming from, some people's past is best kept secret. But there is a God that takes that mess and turns it into a message. It can only be in the hands of God that a man like Shinorambo, I don't know if any of us remember that man, armed robber to the core, murderer to the core, is today an evangelist. It's only God that takes a man like that and turns him around and makes a message out of a man like that. It's only God that does things like that. No other person can. You and I will, if I remember, a cousin of mine, she said she was in the room when that man was sharing a story with her dad. She says if she was not a child of God, she would have taken a gun and shot him dead. There are some things the man did that even I can't see here because we are online. Some terrible things. But who says that God, that there's anyone alive who is beyond God's grace? I'm yet to meet that man. As somebody would say, don't let your background keep your back on the ground. Just know that as long as your life is in the hands of God, it can turn whatever it is that you have into the message for the times that we are in. That is our first point of reflection. And then the second one, Paul looked at a man like Timothy, and it would only have been by grace that he saw something in that boy's future. For all of us who are here, is there anyone that you consider to be a protege that you are showing the way of truth by personal example? Talk is cheap. I love what Dr. Bala usually will say. When you step out of here and you do life, there are things that would happen to you outside. It's easy to keep up the appearances here in church. We've all come here before, Lord, wearing our best of clothes. The moment you step out of here and life begins to happen to you, what are your decision processes like? What are the things that you think up and you do with your life when you have stepped out of this building? Is there anyone who looks up to you as an example for the times and the seasons that we are in? Or is it just happy-go-lucky, whatever will be, cool, Sarah, Sarah? Is that how we have chosen to live our lives? Trust me, there's nobody here that doesn't have one person at least that you can mentor. I believe either by your biological children or by the people that God in his mercy has placed under your care, you have a duty of responsibility and care to those people. I'm not sure how else I can say it, but Paul and Timothy are the classic example of what it means to be a proper mentor and protege relationship. Is there anyone in your life that God can entrust into your hands that you will take care of? Please note that there is an accounting to be done of every life that God gives you. See, that is the other side to this argument. As much as I desire to be a blessing, I must also note that there's an accounting that will be demanded of me. So I'm not saying don't seek it. I am saying that as you seek it, please note that God will demand an account from you for every life that he places in your care. And so it was on that basis that Paul wrote this letter to this young man, Timothy. And he said to him very clearly, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman that has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Media, I hope we can help us share that second page. There are some key words in that verse that I would just love us to. I hope we can read this. I'm sorry, I'll try and read it. There are four things in that verse. The first one is the word study. And it says to devote time and attention to gaining knowledge of a subject or a detailed investigation and analysis of a subject or situation. Keep that. The second word is to present. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. To present or to be present, they are spelled the same way. But one says to give like a present, like a gift. The other one says to show or to offer something for others to scrutinize. I'm saying that I am giving you my life. You look at it and consider whether it matches up to the standard. That is one definition of present. Another one says to be fully focused on or involved in what one is doing or experiencing. And the last one says a phase in time where, for example, you can say that the present is right now. So as I read that word, study and show yourself, to present yourself to God, God is talking about the fact that I am giving my life to him as a present. Whatever work he has given me to do, I am present and involved in it. And also, because I don't have forever, I must do it now. So in that same verse, almost three definitions of the word present, both as a present to God or right living right here in the now. Nobody here, no amount of faith can guarantee that you will see tomorrow if God doesn't give you that. We can pray for long life. But the truth is, unless God says yes, none of us here is guaranteed tomorrow. I'm sorry if I sound a bit fatalistic, but the truth is, God is in his mercy. He decides to preserve. Those that died, I'm sure that it wasn't because they were not Christians. I wouldn't even go that far to argue that kind of make that kind of argument. But it pleases God right here, right now. On the 10th of September 2023 at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, that you will be here. And the question is, what am I doing with the opportunities and the privilege he has given to me to hear God's word? No matter your gifting and your calling, please, what is the raw material for use in God's house? What's the raw material? It's the word of God. Every gifting, every calling is based on the word. The other definition says a workman, somebody with a specified skill in a job or a craft requiring industry, diligence, and application. And the last one is the word approved. To prove or to show or to officially agree to or accept as satisfactory. Please, as you read these four definitions, there's one central theme that is common to all of them. I don't know if you're able to find just one central theme that connects all the four. One. And that theme is time. Study takes time. To present yourself involves time. As a workman, you don't become a good workman overnight. It takes time. And the process of approval by God never happens overnight. They all take time. As I read that verse, I also realize that nothing is said about man's opinion or man's view or man's applause. Did you say anything about man in that entire verse? Let's go back to that verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Please, the test or the proof of my acceptance is not in man's applause. Too many times we live for the applause of men. Too many times we crave the acceptance. While there's nothing wrong with that, that is not the measure of God's approval for my life. Men change. I hope we know that. Men are entitled to change. But God remains the same. And so if God calls something sin during Adam's time, no amount of education or enlightenment or exposure will change God's mind. You and I can argue and say it's 21st century. Let's live up to the times. It's fine. But as far as God is concerned, his truths, they remain constant, irrespective of generation or dispensation. And so, beyond the arguments and the postulations of men, I believe very strongly that what God would have us reflect on this morning or this afternoon is to understand his mind as revealed in the word. The Bible says, study to show yourself. It is not about what men would say. At the end of the day, when God approves you, he will declare you before men. Don't jump the gun or change the process. Don't start with trying to please men before God approves you. You will mess everything up. But when God has approved of you, even John the Baptist is a good example. Where was his pupil? His pupil was in the desert. He didn't know what suits were. The Bible says his clothing was made with camel's skin. What was his food? No toast, no cornflakes. He was eating locust and wild honey. Yet the rich, they left the city and went looking for him because he had a message. It doesn't matter where you are in the far place of the desert, anywhere you are, if God has approved of you, men will leave the city to come and look for you. I want us to understand the mind of God as it relates to the importance of his word. Nothing else, as I think we said something earlier, your giftings and your talents, they can only be properly exercised when they are based on the word. So it's important to have that at the back of our minds. And as we begin to round up, I'll just honestly just read a few of the things that were noted here. It is not a wonder, then, that the kind of impression that Paul made on Timothy. Do we know how many books that Timothy was involved in writing in the New Testament? Do we know?
at least five of them were co-written by Paul and Timothy. Let me see if I can find that. Philippians, Colossians, 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. I'm not sure many of us know that. We all know that Paul is a popular one. But go and read the first two verses of all those books. You will find Paul and Timothy writing those letters to the churches at that time. That was the impact of a man like Paul in the life of Timothy. I go back to the point you made earlier. Who is that person whose life you are responsible for? Can God entrust a human life into my hands because he knows that I'll be faithful? That was God's impression about Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, it says, "For I know Abraham, that he would bring up his children after him in the fear." God, at that time, Isaac had not yet been born. So hope you know that. Isaac was not even born. He was a promised child. But yet God was saying with full confidence that I know Abraham, that he will bring up his children to fear and to honor me. The sons of God gathered together. And the Bible says, and Satan came also with them. And then God was telling the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I don't want to make the wrong prayer and say, "God, no, recommend me to the devil." But at the end of the day, that is what God usually does. Because your life has become an example that people can look at and say, like the prayer we prayed, "Can my life be laid out as an example for people to emulate?" And as I always will tell my children, nobody is too young to go to hell. And nobody is also too old to go to hell. But there's always the time factor. There's always this time factor. It would be foolishness for me to put a 90-year-old man beside Usain Bolt and say they should run 100 meters. I think it's clear who's going to win. As at that time, that man is past his best. While we have time, while I am given the time to make a decision, the day of salvation is now. Nobody knows what tomorrow holds. But if I can trust God and depend on him today, today is that day of salvation. And I'd just like to end on this note. As God gives me the work he needs me to do, as he plants me in the place where he wants me to occupy till he comes, I must be sure that I am in the post, in the place that I have been planted. No hypocrisy, no eye service, no deceit. At the end of the day, the men that you have tried to deceive, they may know the truth. Some of them may perish and go to hell. But like we've agreed, for you and I, an accounting will be demanded. May I not stand before God? And God says, "I'm sorry. You understood the language. You could speak it. You could tell people about it, but you didn't live it." The Bible says, "Not all that say unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It says, but those that do the will of my Father in heaven." Please, if we can do this, for just ignore men's views, men's opinions, men's attitudes, men's applause, whatever it is, and focus on God for a moment. And we can bow our heads very quickly and just take these few minutes to just, you know, ponder on the verse that we have looked at, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and the story that surrounds that verse. Are there decisions that I need to make right now? Let's not forget also that it is in the place of study that God can give you a message for the times and the seasons that you are in. I will just read Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned." that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. The question would be, what would I say if I have not received from the word himself? What encouragement can I give if I myself has not been first encouraged by God? The Bible talks about God comforting me in all my afflictions so that I can then in turn comfort others with the comfort I have received from God. You can't give what you don't have. No matter how much you desire. You can say amen, but amen is not really the full answer. It's about also spending time in the place of study and relationship with God to get to know God for who he is. The Bible says that they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. This is a generation where deceit has become the norm. False prophets are coming out with all sorts of signs and wonders. It was the same in Egypt at the time. But there is a person, a life that God wants to make his own with a seal of approval. And these are people who spend time with him in the place of personal study so that when God announces them to the world, they can stand firm no matter what comes. A workman, the Bible says, tested by trials. How do you know the value of something if it's not tested? We ask God again this afternoon that he would give us the grace to submit ourselves to him. He will give us the grace to spend time with him in the closet, to dedicate time and effort and labor, even in the place of study, so that when it is time for him to announce us the word, we are ready. The Bible says that the word is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. How can he manifest them if they are not ready? Lord, we commit our lives again to you. You are the one who can help us. And so we surrender our lives to you in total and absolute sacrifice. Because we know that we can't help ourselves. We ask you, God, for your help. That Father God Almighty, as we spend time with you, our lives will reflect your presence. The world will know that we know you, and they'll be attracted to your light in us in the name of Jesus. As you raise us up as examples in the world that you have planted us, may we be worthy examples, worthy of emulation. May lives not go to hell because of us. May we not lead other people astray in the name of Jesus. Make us lives that can be trusted even with the deep mysteries of your word. Thank you, Almighty Father. Continue to help us as a church. In the place that you have planted us, Lord, may we spread out and make your will and your name known in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty Father. Blessed be your name, O God. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were ministered to through this message. If you have any comment on this presentation or would like to contact us, our address is 38-40 Parsons Meet, West Croydon, CR03SL. To speak to a member of our team, you can call us on 0208-688-466. Our website address is www.croydontabernacle.org.uk. Thank you and God bless.